On a big one.
That was so terrible.
I don't think I've used mine in 10, 15 years. I know it rusted out now.
Okay. I wanted to ask you a couple of questions before we go to these last few questions. When were you first married? Who was your first wife?
My first wife was named Adelia Blasingame.
Okay, and when were you married? Do you remember the year?
1942.
42. How old were you then? You were in your 30s, I guess.
29.
Yeah. Did you have any children from the first marriage?
Two. All I had was a first marriage.
Oh, okay. So you had, what, a boy and a girl?
No, two boys.
Oh, two boys. Mm-hmm. Two boys. And how old are they now?
One 44, I believe, or 46, the other 42.
Mm-hmm. And how did you said your first wife had multiple sclerosis?
Yeah.
And she died. How old was she? That's okay. What year did she die? It's been a while ago, right?
1981.
I see. So it hadn't been that long.
No.
And when you married again. And
yeah.
Who's your second wife, Susan?
Susan Green.
Mm-hmm. And what year were you married?
86.
84.
Okay. Did you meet?
June 30th,
1980. Oh, well, you've got an anniversary coming up Saturday.
Yes.
Saturday coming.
Right. I know because my father's anniversary is the 29th.
I bet he's going to get me a good old present.
hint, hint. What was the other thing I was going to ask you? Did you get married here in Seneca then? Susan?
No, I got married in Fairmont, North Carolina.
Oh, Fairmont, North Carolina.
She was living there.
Oh, so you met Susan in North Carolina?
No, I met her in Pinewood.
Oh, in Pinewood.
Yeah, we grew up together.
That's right. You told me that earlier, that you'd grown up with Susan
right.
in Pinewood.
Right.
And met her back there again,
mm-hmm.
and then brought her here. Now, Sadia was from where?
Here. Yeah.
She was from here?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Backwards. She was from here and died here and everything.
Right.
Okay. What were some of your, or one or two, or your best and happiest moments when you were a child? Your best, happiest childhood moments. Taking me a while to get that.
Baseball.
Baseball. You were happiest when you were playing baseball?
Yeah.
Did you, why was that? Did you really like baseball?
I like baseball.
What position did you play?
Pitch.
You were a pitcher.
Yeah.
Were you a good pitcher?
I lost one game in 9 years.
You were a good pitcher.
Yeah.
That's great. Who'd you play with or for?
Morris College, Sumter.
Oh, you played Morris College
mm-hmm.
in Sumter.
Yeah.
And was it something? It's something that you really enjoyed doing.
I enjoyed doing. I got a whipping every Wednesday night for 2 or 3 years.
You did? Why?
Stealing off to play baseball.
When you were at home.
At home.
Small.
Yeah. We played at home on Wednesday.
Uh huh.
I'd ask my father to go, and he said he would tell me work before pleasure.
Right.
And wouldn't let me go. In the week, I could play on Saturday, but I couldn't play on the week because my mule was down up in the stable.
Oh, I see.
And I'd plow the mule into the woods, hit the mule side of the woods, and take off through the woods and go to Pinewood and play baseball. And end up, my father would come to Pinewood to see me play. Beat me for 2 or 3 years.
He beat you, but you'd still keep on playing, and he'd still come watch you,
that's
right?
I still watch.
Was there a large group of people that would come and watch?
Yes, we did.
Baseball?
That's the only outing we had
mm-hmm.
in the summertime.
Right. And this was, of course, a summertime activity.
Right.
Did anyone teach you how to pitch, or is something you picked up
no,
yourself?
No, I just learned to pitch.
Did you have a good slider or a fastball or a curve? What was your best pitch?
Curve.
You could pitch the curve. Right?
Yeah. And to show you how effective it was, I met a man who became bishop of the United Methodist Church, Bishop Marquis Harris.
Mm-hmm.
8 or 10 years ago, I'm talking about boyhood now, 8 or 10 years ago, I met him. I was a master ceremony in Spartanburg, and he was the guest speaker.
Uh-huh.
He sat by me and said, "Don't I know you?" I said, "No, I don't think so." He said, "You got a curveball artist from Morris College?"
Goodness, he remembered that.
Yeah, I said, yes.
Was he white?
No, black.
This is a black bishop.
Uh-huh. I said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Bishop Harris." He said, "I remember I was coaching this classroom at that time."
Oh?
I said, "You were, yeah. You remember me?" I said, "I remember you. Baseball curve artist," he called me.
He He said he was coaching something else?
He's coaching at Claflin at the time.
Oh, another college, another school.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Claflin's a college.
Okay.
He coached at Claflin at the time. Uh-huh. I was pitching for Morris College, and we used to play Claflin, you see.
Right, right.
He remembered me from a boy, and I didn't know him at all.
But he knew you, because he remembered you had a good curveball. Yeah. Well, heaven's sake. Did you ever think of making it a career or playing back baseball? Or?
No. I didn't like the travel they were doing.
Yeah, they had to travel a lot,
I guess. I had to travel by bus and cars. So
right.
Rough traveling, that was it.
And there wasn't any pay in it back then, no. Or anything like that.
I made $45 a week, though, pitching for Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh.
This was big money in those days, because you were making $12 and $15 a week.
Was this a professional black team?
Yes.
And you pitched for them just in the summer?
In summer.
For $45 a week. Back then, that was good.
That was big money.
Gosh, how long did you do that?
I played there 1 year, and I played with the Industrial League in Manassas, Pennsylvania for a summer.
Mm-hmm. So you played in that league too, and professionally. How much did you make then?
$40, $50 a week. I don't recall. Mm-hmm. But baseball was in my blood. But teaching was what I wanted to do.
Right, right. Baseball really wouldn't have been enough.
That's right.
For satisfying.
I couldn't take care of wife with that.
No, not being a ball player.
No.
Boy, you could today though. Did you continue to play ball?
No, when I came here, I never played but one more game after I came to Seneca.
Oh.
The man at principal school here was my catcher in high school.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't play but one game here.
One game. Mm. Were either of your sons good ball players?
Yeah, my younger son could have gone either way, baseball or football. He was football. He's a pro, professional football player.
He was?
Yeah.
For whom?
Montreal Alouettes.
My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
How many seasons was he with them?
7. And he played 1 or 2 years with the Memphis South one.
So he was... So evidently...
World Football League.
Mm. So athletically, it was in your family. Yeah. Good athletic.
Yeah, he was good. My brother was good. And this younger boy was good.
Mm.
He was good in baseball and football.
Mm. And you said your brother was a good ball player, too.
Yeah.
What did he play?
Pitch.
He was also
at first base, yeah.
He was also a good pitcher.
Yeah.
A good first baseman, too. Well, that's real interesting, Dr. Code. I never pictured you as an athlete.
And we had 148 pounds.
Is that all you weighed?
That's all I weighed.
Oh, gee. Did you have a pitch the whole game? You didn't have relief pitches and all that back then, did you?
No, we didn't. We didn't know anything about all these relief pitches.
Right.
We started the beginning at the finishing.
That's right. You pitched from beginning to end, right?
From beginning to end, yeah.
Were you known for getting a lot of strikeouts or anything like that? Did you strike a lot of men out?
Strike a lot of men out.
Have any kind of a record or anything that you know of?
No. I pitched a no-hit game for Sam Mendens in Georgetown.
Oh.
No hit, no run.
You had a 7-inning no-hit, no run?
No, that's great.
That's quite a good game. 7 innings. Was it a 9-inning ball game?
I could make a ball do anything humanly possible. And they're just getting around to some pitches I used to throw now.
They are?
Yeah. The floater they learned recently, I was doing that when I was a kid. The fadeaway that they learned about 15, 20 years ago, I was doing that as a kid.
You were already doing the fadeaway?
Yeah, I was doing the fadeaway when I was a kid.
And what was the first thing you said you were doing? The float something, I missed that first word. I don't know if you said in Florida or...
In Florida.
Oh, in Florida, things
yeah.
you were doing. Okay.
Yeah.
But the fadeaway was the actual term that you said you were doing that as a kid. Anything else? I know what a fadeaway is.
The turkey drop.
I don't know a turkey drop. What's a turkey drop? I thought I knew baseball.
The ball would go straight and just dead
drop.
Dead
end. Yeah, I've seen that, but I didn't know that's what it's called.
Turkey drop, yeah.
Oh, for goodness sake.
I learned those things fishing and catching for myself.
Hmm.
I tie a mitt on the wire fence with a guard, and go back and throw it to it. Every time I miss it, I have to go pick it up.
Oh, for goodness sake!
So I had to be accurate. Don't walk myself to death.
Oh, I see. Because it would come back to.
No, it wouldn't come back, but it'd go somewhere else, and somebody got to get it.
Oh, someone else would get it.
Yes,
otherwise,
right.
You'd have to go get it. You're walking yourself back and forth.
That's
see.
Right.
Okay, because I thought surely it's not a boomerang.
No.
I was quite getting the picture here.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So you actually did teach yourself how to pitch by doing some of these things.
Yes.
You said you like to tie this net to the fence.
Right.
And you would do that kind of thing just like kids today practice basketball.
And anybody who came to visit me had to catch. I was going to pitch.
Oh, you were the pitcher and they were the catcher.
Had to catch.
So they had to play catch whether they liked it or not.
Yeah, they liked it or not. Be at my house, you had to catch.
Oh, gee. Did you play a lot with your brother, say the other one that liked to pitch?
No. He's too old for me.
Oh, that's right. Cause
he was grown when I was a kid.
There was a big age difference between you and he. So this was mostly just friends that would come that you could always get to catch. Okay. When you were little, when you were a child, how did you feel then about being black?
Black never bothered me. The interesting story on that, when I was trustee on Wolf Card trustee board, was a man who would come and sit with me at every meeting I'd go to. He'd come and sit with me, and at the time to eat, he and I ate together. I didn't know why he was doing it, but one day I said, well, I appreciate you having done it with him, but why?
Right.
He was dean, one of the deans of Wofford. He said, Adams, I tell you what, so I went to Orangeburg a few years ago and saw them play a basketball game. And I was the only white man in the audience.
Oh, my goodness.
And I felt like a fool, he said. So I know how you feel here, but you're the only black man here. And I said, well, I don't feel that, but I'm sorry. I appreciate just eating it, but you can stop. Just born one bit. And it doesn't.
And it didn't when you were little.
I'm just as comfortable with you as I am with my wife.
Well, that's good that you don't have that.
I don't have that complex, no.
Right, but some people do. And when you were little, how did you feel about whites? I know it's a similar question, but...
Well, the boys I grew up with, we used to fight a lot. If they called me black, they had white on their hands.
Right. But they didn't call you black. Didn't they call you worse things?
Yes, I called you a nigger.
Yeah, right.
They said that to me, they had a fight.
When you were called a nigger, you fought back,
right? Yeah, I fought back. I fought
back. Did you play with a lot of white boys?
Yeah.
The ball and all that stuff?
Not ball, but...
But just playing.
Playing.
I forgot to ask you, back when you played ball, you played mostly all black teams, right? You didn't play any white teams, did you, or did you?
I played in a white team in Pennsylvania.
Oh, you did?
But not in the South.
Did you play on a white team or against a white team?
On a white team.
On a white. Oh, you actually played on a white team back in Pennsylvania. Oh, okay, because you didn't hear of that too often back then.
No.
And so when you, as far as how you felt about whites, you took care of yourself. You took up
I fought
yourself.
Back, yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, that's good.
Still do it.
Well, you should. We all should.
Still
against
do.
Anybody take up for ourselves. If you could have changed one thing about your life, any one thing, what would it be? Just anything at all.
I can't think of anything I would change. I think I'd live the same life over.
There really isn't anything. You feel satisfied with your
with my contribution and my participation. I'll be satisfied.
Oh, and before we forget, Dr. Code, I want to get this on tape. There's a school in town that's named for you, right?
Right.
Code Elementary.
Right.
And could you tell me the background of that a little bit? I mean, tell me your background. I know you've been an educator in Seneca for many years, but I'm new to Seneca and I don't know the background. Could you tell me you were a teacher and what else? What happened?
Teacher. When I came here as a teacher, a coach, an assistant principal.
All those things?
All those things right out of college. Made $45 a month.
Wow.
My first year. Second year, I made $50. I made $50 a month for several years. Before I was promoted to administrative principal. Then I jumped to probably $60 a month. Stayed there for several years until I got $850 a year. Then I got a call to the State Department. Probably they came up here to see the school and they were so impressed they wanted me in the State Department. So they, got me there, and I stayed there 5 years.
You did? In Columbia?
In Columbia, yeah.
Doing what? Working in the...
Supervisor of adult education.
Oh, okay. What school did you teach in Seneca? Just to backtrack a minute, what were the names of the schools? Are they still here?
East End now, still here.
Uh-huh.
East End now.
Uh-huh.
When I went there, they had 10 rooms right in the middle of the building.
Uh-huh.
I've added on both wings.
Uh-huh.
9 rooms on one and 8 on the other.
Yes, sir.
So I left the old school right in the middle.
Hmm. And after you left the State Department, you say you were there 9 years?
Five years.
And what did you do then?
I went to State College as a director of adult education, State College.
Okay.
They lost their man, went to Washington.
Uh-huh.
And agriculture. And I went there as the director for adult education, State
College.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
Stayed there. Be 5 years.
Mm. And then what?
I had a heart attack and came back here and retired.
You retired here in Seneca?
Yeah.
And so Seneca School Board honored you by naming the Toad Elementary for you because of all your dedication to teaching and what you had done for the state too, is that right?
Right.
What year was that they named Toad Elementary for you?
It had not been finalized out yet. They're still renovating the school now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They've named it.
Mm-hmm.
But renovating the Blue Ridge School. School I named Blue Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
I was there when the school was built.
I see.
And did most of the supervising the building.
I see.
And that's the school they've changed the name now to Junior High.
Oh, that's a Junior High.
Junior High now.
Uh-huh.
And it will be Cole Elementary following this year.
I see.
It's already.
But there is a school called Cole Elementary now.
This school is already Cole.
It's already called Cole Elementary.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it has been.
Signs up and
it has been ever since I've been here.
Well, the sign's up.
Is it?
But it's already that.
No, I didn't.
Well, the reason I said that is because that was one of the schools I was told I could sub in was Code Elementary.
Yes,
yeah. I know, but the school had not been named Code Elementary School.
Oh, yes, sir.
No, I haven't, too.
Okay, you tell me why it hasn't. What's going to happen next?
To change the name of school, you've got to go through the State Department.
Yes, sir.
Because it's registered in the State Department as a certain thing.
Yeah, what is the school name? I mean, what?
Blue Ridge now.
Blue Ridge, that's the one that's going to be Code.
That's right, that's going to be Code Elementary, but it was, when I went there, it was Oconee County Training School.
Oh, that was the Oconee County Training
School. That was Oconee County Training School.
Okay.
And I changed the name to Blue Ridge.
Uh-huh.
When we renovate the school.
Yeah.
And I got it changed in Columbia.
Right.
So I know it hadn't been changed because they're still dicking with me. As to when I want it done, whether I want it to complete the renovation,
uh-huh.
or let it go ahead and stay where like it is until the renovation.
I see.
And I want to stay like it is until the renovation.
Oh, okay.
Then name it Code, but then I've got to go through a process for that.
I see.
It isn't just change the name like I changed Code to Code to Code.
Code. Yeah, except that I know a gal that teaches there, and she calls it Code Elementary.
Yeah, they do that. Code. Because that's prevalent.
Right.
But it isn't a fact.
It isn't. I see. It's not. It hasn't been actually done, but they are already calling Code.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They got sign up.
The sign's up.
And but that doesn't mean a thing until it goes through Columbia.
Hadn't been documented.
That's right. Columbia has to approve it.
Okay. The final approval hadn't come through, but it's in use.
Right.
The name is in use.
Right.
Okay.
That's clear. That's clear. You up, Susan?
She's clear. We're clear.
Okay.
We're clear because I know there's a Code Elementary.
But
you're saying it has to be actually done. It hasn't. But the usage is there.
That's right.
The usage is there. We're calling it that. Okay. My neighbor across the street teaches at Code Elementary. That's why I'm saying that. Okay. Do you consider that? I consider that a big honor. Do you consider that?
That's an honor to be living because most schools are named after your dad.
Right. So it is an honor.
It's an honor to me.
Right.
One of the biggest honors I've ever received.
Right. Well, I know I would consider it a big honor to me, so I figured you would consider it big honor. I think it's wonderful, and I congratulate you on that.
Thank you. I do.
Congratulate you on your life as an educator and everything else that you have done. Is there anything that you would like to add to the tape or anything that we didn't cover? I forgot to ask you a certain question or whatever about your childhood. Or
one of the things that we haven't covered.
Yes, sir.
It's a struggle that black principals have had.
Mm-hmm.
I've had an unusual struggle here. One with white folk, with black folk.
Oh, what was the problem? That because
most black principals inherit, when he become principal of the school, he inherits the name Rogue. Inherit that.
Yeah. You just called a rogue.
It's called a rogue when you become principal of the school and you have the money.
Uh-huh.
They call you a rogue.
Oh.
No proof, no evidence of that one way or the other.
Why? Is that just something that seems to be passed, a mental
mentality of black people.
State of mind. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because you become in charge of the school.
I see.
And being in charge of school, they figure that if he raised $1,000, he took it all.
Ah.
Because they would do that if they had a chance.
Oh.
But they didn't know if you did that, you wouldn't be in the position in the first place.
Right. They're identifying you with something that they would have done that not necessarily
that's
you
right.
would have.
That's right. They did that for me for about 4 years here.
My goodness.
3 or 4 years, I went through an awful hassle. The people calling me a rogue and trying to poison my faculty against me and students against me, all that sort of stuff.
This was black parents?
Black parents.
My goodness.
And the leader of that was a preacher. I'm not calling his name because he still lives.
Okay.
But the leader of that was a preacher. Pastor my church, and he and I fell out in the church.
My goodness.
So to get even with me, he went down poor the community to get me out of the school system.
My goodness.
Still visits me 2-3 times a year. I don't visit him because I'm not that kind of hypocrite, but he visited me 2-3 times a year. Make out nothing wrong with me, and he fought just as hard to get me out of the school system as anybody could ever do. But I didn't have to steal from school because they paid me a salary.
Right.
And a pretty good salary for those days.
Right.
When I left the school, I'd make $8,500 when I left the school.
Mm-hmm.
And she was making then $50, $60 a month.
Right.
I got a salary of $850, $8,500.
Mm.
And they, I left there for $12,000 with the State Department.
Mm.
And the State Department invited me to come there. I went there for $12,000.
My goodness.
And I left State Department $12,000, and the salary of State College was average $13,000. I got $17,000 to go to State College.
That's excellent.
That's excellent.
Yeah, back then too.
Yeah, $17,000 to go to State College. Stayed there 5 years.
What year did you have a heart attack and retire, sir?
1970, I believe, or 71.
I see.
I had a heart attack in 1970, but I retired in 71.
You retired in 71?
Yeah.
Okay. So you were in your 60s already then?
Yeah.
Okay. Around retirement age,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you feel that you got more support from white people then in this town? Because you said you loved living here, and yet you're talking about these black people that were against you and gave you a hard time.
Didn't bother me.
Didn't bother you. The rest of the people, everybody else was good to you, right?
I still had support. I had a few families fighting me, but
mm-hmm.
not the public in general.
Public in general was pretty much for you.
Right.
Did you feel that the school board, which was probably mostly white, was for you and supported you?
The school board
was
all white.
All white?
All white.
I would have thought that, yeah.
But they were with me 100%.
That's wonderful. Did you ever feel that they were less for you because you were black, or you always felt they supported you?
They supported me. I remember I had a superintendent who really didn't like me.
Mm.
First, I don't think he liked me, but he would do what I wanted done.
Right.
We got along like brothers.
Right.
But he still didn't like me. Mm. He told me one time, said, Cole, I'd fire you if I could, but you know I can't fire you. I'd get fired if I try to mess with you. I'd get fired, I know it.
Right.
I said, I don't believe that. He said, yes, sir, yes, sir. No, I can't fire you. But he couldn't fire me. But I respected him as a superintendent.
Were you ever principal of a white school?
No.
Well, it's about always black.
No, black school. I left before.
Well, the schools were not integrated. Were not integrated.
No.
Had not become integrated by the time you retired.
No.
No. Okay. Because what year did you retire? Oh, they weren't, huh? So
must be.
Integration took place in the 60s.
80. I believe 1980.
Mm-hmm. Here.
No.
It had to be integrated earlier than that.
71, I retired.
Okay.
My heart attack was in 70, and I retired in 71.
And the schools were not integrated here
yet?
No. Oh, they weren't integrated till afterwards.
Right.
Okay, so you never worked
in... Now, some sections were integrated, but we were not.
You all were not.
Because this is predominantly white area, you know.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
It's only... Yeah, only supposed to be about 3% black.
That's right.
Okay, so you were never in an environment with the schools integrated. I know Miss Gassaway was. I mean, she went to Easley to.
Yeah.
She was the first black to integrate a white school there. But you weren't in that situation?
No.
Okay.
But they had offered me a position in the state department, in the county mm-hmm. office.
Mm-hmm.
If I chose to leave the black school.
I see.
I didn't choose to leave the black school.
You wanted to stay with the black
school? Yeah. Still would do it if I had a chance.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Was there anything else that we didn't cover or talk about? If not, I just want to thank you. It was a very nice interview. Appreciate you giving me...
I can't think so. I have fallen out with every superintendent I had.
You have fallen out with every superintendent?
Every superintendent I had. We disagree on some issue, but they never bothered me.
But you're always very strong-minded, and you've always believed in taking up for yourself,
I believe in that.
And I think you're smart.
I believe in that.
That's good.
If you wrote me wrong, I'll let you know it.
Well, I think that's the way we should all do.
Right. I should say to people, if you don't want the truth, don't come to me.
Absolutely. Very good. Well, truth is, I've enjoyed this interview, and thank you so much, Dr. Code.
Well, thank you for coming.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate your coming.